I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. It's Tanya Amotayo, and I was just on Me, Her, and Everything Pod. Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to another episode of Me, Her, and Everything Else. Thanks for all the love. Thanks for the likes, the shares, the comments. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel and follow on Instagram and wherever else. So guys, today I'm here with a beauty. She's my friend, but she's also very, anyway, you people think she's very sweet. You know, she's just, Tanya Motayo, so sweet.
I am sweet.
What?
I'm like the sweetest, exactly.
Tanya.
I'm the definition of sweet.
You just said that you tried
it.
I hope you will not insult me on this episode.
That's part of me being sweet. That's my love language.
Which dirty love
language
is that?
Violence is my love language.
Anyway. Welcome to the show and thank you for coming
thank
on.
Thank you for having me, even though
so
you're late.
You are the creative director of Siva Lagos.
Yes, ma'am.
And your mother, your wife, and so much more, your content creator as well. Mm-hmm. And you're a fine gal. Come on.
Period.
So you obviously juggle many hats and you're also Sai Sai's mom.
Yes.
And there's a lot that's been happening in schools lately and just in children in general. And we've seen this shift, you know. So you're a millennial, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why did you do it like that? Why? See, you have started.
Sorry. Okay.
You're a millennial, right? And the way we grew up and the way children are being raised now has definitely changed.
Definitely.
Now, something has been happened recently in the media with a 10-year-old at is it Chrisland School?
Yeah,
Chrisland. And I don't know how to pronounce it. But it's very scary and I feel like it is kind of like a product of what society has been breeding. It's like a ticking time bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, this morning my friend called me and she said that she had a conversation with her 7-year-old about sex. And I mean, prior to becoming a mum, I would have thought a 7-year-old talking to him about sex is a bit early. But then with everything that has been going on and the way the world is moving, I kind of feel like she was right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested to know what your stance is. Do you think that is an appropriate age?
I mean, if you feel like, I feel like each child is different and you should know certain things. So for example, with like vagina, penis and all of these words, I don't baby them. Like Sarai knows she calls it a vagina and she's 3. But she's like, I'm like, if anyone touches your vagina, you tell me. It's not okay. Like you, and she's 3, but it's so important to have these conversations because especially with boys, almost every boy, maybe 95% of the boys I know from Nigeria were disvirgined by their nannies or staff or aunties.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also because they're not educated about it. They don't know. They think it's normal. They think it's okay. So it's up to you as a parent to tell your kid, it's not okay for an adult to touch you down there. It's not okay for anyone, male or female, because, you know, you never know. It's not okay. And the earlier you start having these conversations and not like babying it or like playing about it, the better for you, because then you're very clear.
Yeah.
Imagine if, you know, Saisa needs to communicate something, she'll clearly be able to say vagina and you will know what she's talking about, as opposed to, I don't know, kitty, cat, like random little words that people use to make it sound cool. It's not a cute word. It should be straightforward.
No, it is. And I agree with you. I think it's important not to baby those type of things, especially to teach them about their private areas. Now, it's just, it's insane, actually, the way people are even, I think there's two different types of people talking about this precedent issue. And they're the people that obviously blaming the parents, blaming the schools, but nobody's actually talking really about society and how society has helped breed these types of children. I mean, you can say as a parent that, okay, you know, you're going to train your child, you're going to tell them about your vagina, penis, but then, You obviously you can't stop there. And you also can't just expect the school to take on the onus and say, okay, you know what? We're going to teach your children these things. Teaching children about sex is one of those things that is so, seems to be so difficult, because even adults are afraid sometimes to say the word sex.
Yeah.
Even talking to your friends, you just be like, does it make you like cringe?
Makes me cringe. Yeah. I mean, I didn't tell my parents I was pregnant, because I didn't want them to know I was having sex till I was like 6 months and I couldn't hide it.
Oh.
So, yeah.
And this is exactly what I mean. All of us have been conditioned to feel like sex is like dirty. It's vulgar. And yeah, you know, because of the pleasure that comes out of sex, it could be seen as like, okay, you know, I don't know. It just, even saying it now, it's making me like, topic. Okay, wait, it's weird.
But that's only not. For us. It's normal everywhere else.
Yeah. And it's just a part of the, I think it's part of the hypocrisy in Nigeria, because people are doing worse. I remember when I was about 11, some kids came from Nigeria. So I've never lived in Nigeria, never schooled in Nigeria. And these kids came and there was the boy, one of the boys, he was also 11. And he was talking to me about periods and pads and like, and at this point, I didn't really know, to be honest, what a period was. I just knew that, you know, I see women sometimes come out of the toilet, you know, wrapping things or whatever. And he was like, I touched the girl's, you know, her kidney. And I was just like, wait, what? And he was like, yeah. And he was asking me like, oh, have you had?
Yeah.
And I just thought that, wait, what? Because I, and the thing is, at 11, you could like a boy. So I thought he was cool and nice or whatever, but what he was saying, I didn't really understand it. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, growing up in a Nigerian household, your parents not just walk around telling you about these things. But looking back,
sometimes, some parents.
But now looking back on it, I'm like, oh my gosh, if I was a different type of child, I could have actually, you know,
just out of curiosity.
Yeah. And that's where the danger is. Also, it's the silence, because someone is going to tell your child about whatever it is. It's sex or whatever, the reproductive system. So do you agree it's very important to just teach them early as well, not only about their private parts?
No matter how awkward. Like, I remember the first conversation my mom had with me about sex, and I wanted to kill myself. I was like, why are you can you stop? I literally, if the ground could swallow me up, I think I was like 12. And I remember I could hear my dad being like, go and ask her what she knows about sex. Ask her. Let's be sure. You know, like, what does she know? She's getting to that age. My mom was so uncomfortable, but my dad is white. He don't give a damn. He doesn't care. So he was like, nope, you have to do this because I'm not going to do it. So you have to do it. And he literally had to push her. But then she started asking me these questions. I'm like, I don't know anything.
But did you know?
Not really, no, because I went to a German school, so it was very, like, different. But then she started explaining things to me. So she was like, oh, what do you know about sex? I'm like, nothing. She's like, okay, it's when a man and a woman, blah, 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 blah. And then she started explaining everything to me. Now, when I moved to the British school and was now exposed to these things, my mom had already told me what everything was. So I wasn't curious. I didn't care to know what other people were doing in their free time, because I already had this information. So there was no sense of like curiosity, I think. So I definitely think it's important to have these conversations. And I believe that I'd rather my child come and tell me something. I'd rather know what you're doing, whether I agree with it or not, or at least for you to feel comfortable, even if you know you'll get in trouble, still feel like, this is my person. I can tell her anything. She may kill me, but it's okay. Cause that's how my mom is. Like I can, or even my dad, I just preferred not to speak about those things, but I know that I could, you know, if I was ever in trouble or God forbid I got raped or anything like that, I knew I would be able to tell my parents without issues, knowing fully well that they were going to go and kill whoever it was, you know? But I feel like in most Nigerian households and African households in general, it's not okay to talk about these things. I can't imagine a 15-year-old child asking a typical Nigerian mom, mommy, what is sex? The beating that you received.
I mean, even though I remember when I watched the video, right, of the mother of the girl from school, she said, she actually said that she beat her. I don't know what stage she beat her, but she said she beat her. And the thing is,
what has that solved?
Yeah, because when you beat a child, I know most Nigerians will say, oh, you know, you have to beat a child.
I mean, my mom beat the shit out of me. Yeah, I got my ass whooped.
Yeah.
But that's because I was naughty, not because, you know, I was asking questions or whatever. And in this situation, okay, you beat her as opposed to counseling her. Because the beating is only going to make her want to do it more, in my opinion, because it's like, I don't know. It's a weird place because it may help, but it also may backfire. It's one of those things where I can't tell you how to be a parent. You have, like, if that's what works for her, that's what works for her. Yeah, but I'm not sure which point
she beat her. I think it was getting her to tell her.
Okay, what really happened.
Yeah, what really happened, I think. But the thing is, the whole beating thing as well is, I think it's a very fine line between, you know, smacking someone because they've done something naughty and then you hitting a child to the point that they just don't withdraw and they don't even want to give you information anymore. And that's very dangerous.
Very.
Yeah. And the thing is, a lot of parents nowadays are not aware. They're not present. They're there, but they're maybe on their phone. So their child is on YouTube or their child is texting someone or they're on those online games. You don't know what they're doing. And people literally don't see what's going to happen, the generation we're going to have. And these things have already started. If even just seeing naked women or women in bikinis, things like that, you are already, they're being exposed to so
really
much. Really early. I mean, In our times, like when we were in school, I'm sure like boys used to cut out, you know, if they saw like a woman with a bra or something, maybe they cut it out and be like, ooh, show their friends and hide it and stuff. But now,
it's on their phone.
It's even on the road.
Yeah.
They're naked women on the road. They're even in their car and they're naked women, you know, walking around bum shorts. Like, okay, fair. You know, we all have worn like skimpy clothes. But the thing is, there has to be we have to take accountability and be responsible for some of these things. So it's not just the parent, it's not just the school. Society is also an issue here. And you know, Nigeria, we want to take on Western, that what was it, adopt Western adopt, yeah. cultures, mm-hmm. but we don't even have the correct criminal justice system. So
to do that,
doesn't make any sense.
I think it's a tricky situation, but more than anything, I mean, I saw people blaming the school. I don't agree. I've been on school trips and there's only so many teachers you can send with kids. Like you cannot send 70 teachers for 70 kids. It's not possible. And you know, they will do their checks, they will do their everything, but at the end of the day, you're in a foreign country in a hotel. The teacher cannot sleep in the room with you. There's probably like two kids per room. I read maybe that they separated the floors on something. You know, so how is the school like, it's weird. I don't know. It's one of those things where there's no right or wrong. I just feel like the kids are at fault. The parents of the kids should probably counsel their kids and educate them on why this is wrong at this age. The school should also educate the kids more
Yeah, I think the thing the school did that was wrong was keeping... Are you aware of that?
I just found that out on my way here.
Yeah, so they kept the information away from the parents.
So they just suspended the girl and they didn't know why.
Yeah, they didn't tell her, her mother or her father. They even told the mum to not tell her dad. And or not only that, they even took the girl for a pregnancy test, I believe 3 times. And they were saying it was for a COVID test. Yeah, so...
So this is the thing. I went to boarding school here for a year, I think. And I know that parents kind of forget their kids in school.
No,
like I know of kids that they never saw their parents during visiting day. My parents showed up every other day, but some kids literally only saw their driver when it was time to go home.
Tanya, there are people that live on... in Lekki Phase 1 and their children go to boarding school in Lekki Phase 1.
Yeah, and they don't see them.
Yeah, that defeats the purpose of a boarding school, to be fair. I mean, why is your child in boarding school when you live down the road? Like, I don't get it. I know sometimes you think that, okay, maybe it's a really good school, but why can't they just homeschool then? They should go to that school and come home. Why you live... It just feels like, to the child, you don't know, it might feel like you're abandoning them. You live down the road. Why am I sleeping at school? Do you get what I mean?
I mean, sometimes it's fun. I had a great time in boarding school. I actually wanted to go to boarding school.
It's like having a prolonged sleepover.
Yeah, but that's because I just didn't live near school and the going back and forth in Lagos traffic was ridiculous. But I couldn't understand why some kids never saw their parents. That was really weird to me. And then I think that's what adds to the problem because they're being raised by strangers and one matron is raising 70 girls or 50 girls. That one-on-one time is not going to be there. So this poor girl probably just had, like, she knew what she was doing, but she probably didn't understand the depths of it and, you know, the consequences of it. If nobody has ever spoken to her about that, it's okay, I tried this thing, perhaps it feels good or it doesn't. Why would you not continue if you think, you know? So I just feel like they need counseling more than anything.
Yeah, they do. And the thing is, the adults that are out here watching the video.
Yeah, that's
wild. This is what I mean about the criminal justice system in Nigeria. So, you know, sometimes people want to say, oh, freedom of speech, you should be able to do what you want. But
not with a kid.
Not with children. And also, the justice system here is not that, I don't feel like that, you know, organized and structured or whatever. So you know, like you're going to find people's IP address and know that, okay, this person is watching, this person has porn on their phone. This is like, you're a pedophile.
But they feel like they're just watching it for, like, to
analyze because they're investigators.
But it's like, it's not your business. You're not the police. You're not the kid's parents. You're not the school. Why do you need to watch the video?
Yeah, no, and I think there's a doctor on Twitter that actually was analyzing the video and I think he's quite popular. And he was saying that, oh, you know, I've seen the video in question and that I can tell that that's not the girl's first time. I mean, what are you, forensic? Like, what? Why are you looking so deeply into...
You're evaluating a 10-year-old child's sex life. That is disgusting. Everything about that is not okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, that the society, even, they need to rewire the people as
well. A lot
of people. Because how that is normal to you and you're even sharing your thing, asking who has the video. Yeah, it's very...
Yeah.
And having children, you know, as parents, and thinking that, wow, this is someone else's child, you also understand the pain that parent is going through.
Because now it's so public. This child, I also wish the mom didn't make that video because even if the girl, like, grows up and changes and people forget about it, if you remember the mom, you're always going to remember her. Like, it's so public and it's like, for it to come off the internet, it's never really going to come off.
No, it's not. And, you know, abroad, a lot of people, what happens most of the time is they change, they get their whole identity changed.
Yeah.
They move.
We can't really do that here.
So this is what I'm saying. Just, it's just like a melting pot of crap.
And it's really sad because also I've not seen one person talking about the boy. It's only the girl that is the devil. Like, not one person has mentioned or asked why a 10-year-old boy is having sex. It's only why a 10-year-old girl is doing this.
Yep, and that's the thing. And when they're talking about it, it's like, oh, she's a professional. She enjoyed it. And this is what we hear when women are raped as well. It's the same thing. Oh, she probably liked it. She enjoyed it. Why was she wearing that? Why was she there? Never about. They always turn the victim.
Even all the other kids, because I heard that they were like, loads of kids. And then I saw a picture. It wasn't on Instagram. There was like a picture, like a screenshot. I mean, they blurred everything out, but I could see like people in the background.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There, so this was like a public thing. Everybody should get in trouble. Yeah, the same kind of trouble, because you're all in this together.
Yep. And they, aren't they all being raped then? It's like statutory rape, because it's like they're all 10. Yeah, so it's all what just...
Can a 10-year-old rape? I don't know.
Yeah,
it's so, a weird, it's a touchy thing.
I don't know. It's just a really weird convo to have, because it's like we're talking about 10-year-olds having sex and
like it's normal
on the internet, like it's normal. And we have grown adults that are out here analyzing the sex life of a 10-year-old. Yeah. And then we've got people chastising the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, yes, we do need to obviously put some of the blame onto the parents, because it's like, okay, what has been happening? Have you been like present? Have you been, because at the end of the day, to be fair, you can do what you want. You can help train a child, but you have to just pray that the child will, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But still, there's certain questions that need to be asked.
Yeah, like if she's been exposed to anything that makes this normal. If he has also been exposed to, because clearly they're both equally at fault, in my opinion. They've both probably been exposed to something. I saw a tweet saying, the security guards, the cooks, the staff in the house should be questioned because they might have been the ones that exposed them. Mm-hmm. Or anybody in the house, really. Because I don't think this is normal. I don't think 10-year-olds should have conversations talkless of the actual act.
And if you think about what is going on social media, are you thinking that a 10-year-old, and you know, nowadays 10-year-olds have mobile phones. They have phones with internet. Mm-hmm. You know, my mum said something. My mum said that they should give all children below 15 push phones, like just phones that you can just make calls on. Yeah. What are you doing on your phone? Why do you need, when we were young, we didn't even have phones until phones, you know, mobile phones became a thing. Yes, wait, now we had Nokia 3310. We had that. But it wasn't when I was 10. It wasn't when you were 10.
I was the first one in my school to have a phone.
But
my dad was in technology and telecommunications.
But the thing is, you didn't have this type of phone. You didn't have an iPhone.
They didn't exist. Yeah.
Exactly. So what could you do? You could probably just play snakes.
But you know something that I realized? I was even talking to someone the other day, and my child was there and the person's kid was there. And I was like, she was like, well, what's this app? I was like, it's YouTube Kids. She's like, what's YouTube Kids? I'm like, so your child has been watching regular YouTube? So that's also another thing. If you do not pay attention and closely monitor what your kids are doing, they do have these devices. I mean, my child is 3 asking for a phone. That's never going to happen. But she's asked, I'm like, no, you have an iPad. That's fine. But even on the iPad, there's internet and there's other apps and things. Her iPad is so bland. Her only options are YouTube Kids. And on YouTube Kids, you can't even type in like a song or any. It won't come up. It's only kiddie stuff that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
So if your child has an iPad and they're connected to the internet and they have everything, of course they're going to see things, because even the ads that pop up sometimes are so inappropriate.
Yep.
But YouTube Kids, I don't even think it has ads, or it has like cartoon ads or something. Yeah. Like it's nothing wild. But you hand them these devices, you don't check. You can put locks, you can put timers.
Yeah,
you can put screen time, you can like put passwords for certain apps. Even on DSTV, I remember my parents always had the code thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would want to watch something and it would be like, oh, it's 16, there's a code. Yeah, yeah. And it used to drive me insane.
Oh my gosh, Sky, and I used to want to watch things. Yep.
Exactly.
But there we are.
But some people don't do that.
No,
some
they
people
don't.
Have general DSTV, general iPad, general laptop, general this and that. And then you're wondering why, you know, you're seeing things or they have access to things.
What's your stance on it takes a village to raise a child?
It definitely takes a village. Yeah. It's impossible to do anything. It's not possible, I don't think, personally.
Because, you know, nowadays, you'll find parents that, you know, maybe the child won't greet you and you'll say, oh, you didn't say hello to me. And then maybe the mum will be like, oh, I don't think he's in the mood, or like, oh, and then you see another parent be like, why didn't you say hello? Greet auntie, that's rude, you know? Or if you were to now say, oh, you didn't greet me, that's naughty, why don't you do that? So the parent could be like, oh, don't talk to my child like that. Don't tell my child what to do.
I don't have friends like that, because I can't be a friend. Because that doesn't work for me, because I expect you to correct my child if my child is like, Sarah is going through a very naughty stage right now. She has hit terrible twos quite late. So she throws tantrums and, you know, sometimes she just doesn't want to do something. Now, I have moods. I'm a Gemini. I have mood swings. So I understand.
You're a Gemini. Oh, it makes sense now. Let's not digress. So you say you will not insult me on this podcast. This is it.
Okay, I'll try. But my point is just, I understand that you're going through something. So if it's like, okay, greet this person, or if someone comes in, she knows these things and she even gets excited. Like the other day I had painters in my house and she was like, oh, uncle, well done. I
was like, what? What? What do you mean? Oh, that's another thing. Calling, you know, all these.
Yeah. So then I say, Mr.
Uh-huh.
So if it's not, so like my, her nannies are auntie because that's your auntie because that.
Yeah.
Except she's like really old then. You have like Miss or Mrs. or whatever. But I'm now starting to, now that she's a bit older and understands a bit, I'm now digressing. So like certain people are Mr., certain people are Miss, certain people are auntie and uncle. And the older she gets, the more I will differentiate it. I don't believe in calling a stranger auntie because that ain't your auntie and that ain't your uncle and that's how you get molested.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah. But when they're really young, it's kind of hard.
Yeah, no, it
but
is.
But now that she's growing up, I've started separating people. So by the time she's like 5, she'll fully know who's her auntie and who ain't.
Yeah, and who's the fake uncle. There's not your uncle from church.
And even like now, I have conversations all the time. Men should not carry her.
Yeah.
Period. Like ever. Like ever. And I don't want to see her sitting on any man's lap that is not her daddy or my dad or...
I was going to get to that. My friend actually, she saw a kid sitting on a man's lap that wasn't her dad. Mm. And she was really uncomfortable. And she was like, take that child off of that man's lap. And the thing is, you know, one minute you're like, okay, oh, as adults, are we the ones creating the scenario, making something sick? Or do you have to be that cautious now in this day and age that men are, you know, heard talking to little girls and breeding them and, you know, being predators to the extent that we now have to take babies off of the laps of men?
I think it depends on the kind of child. If I had a child that wasn't friendly, I wouldn't have these problems. But my child can talk to a wall. Right. She's for everyone. Like, that's just the kind of character that she has. So because of that, she could see a stranger and be like, carry me. Because she's so friendly, like she's really open, which is the opposite of me. So I don't understand why you want to say hi to so many people because I don't want to say hi to so many people. But because of that, I have to control that narrative because she's very open. She will gladly let you carry her. But people that have snobbish babies, no, you don't need, because the child is snobbish enough. Yeah, she's not going to want to go.
She'll be interested.
But for a child that is overly friendly and doesn't mind, you have to separate these things because it will get to a point where it's too late. Not too late, but then it will now make her think, oh, why can't I sit on this uncle's lap? But at this point now, it's just men know.
Yeah. There was that case. There was a case of a woman, actually, a mother, that she, I think her 2-year-old or 3-year-old was being molested by a man. And the woman kept saying that, oh, the girl likes it.
What?
Yeah, she kept telling her that she keeps, that she I think she kept beating her, that she keeps going back to the man, that she must like it. And, you know, Nigerians were like, this woman needs help. Like, they need to take this child away from her. And I think Lagos State actually did take the child away from her.
I think I saw it. Yeah, it wasn't a man. It was her husband.
Oh, was it her husband?
Yeah. So, like, the girl's stepdad or something. Like, her boyfriend or husband or something. Yes.
The baby kept sitting on the man's lap or whatever. And she was like, oh, she likes it, whatever. That's another thing. You know, when people have children, I think they also, I don't know, but maybe people need to go for some type of, that you, they need, people shouldn't just be able to just have children and then just be left alone with the child, because so many people are not really fit, to be parents.
Yeah.
Because how can you say that a child likes it? But guess what? Not everybody that says that has mental health issues. Or that is the way they think.
Yeah, but that's the way they were brought up. But that's what exactly. They're conditioned
to think that, oh, you must be loose. If you're going to a man's lap and you're 7 years old, oh, you must like it. I show in the air. You want to become, when you grow up, you'll be a prostitute. Like, why can't you train the child that, oh, don't do that, it's wrong. If they do it again, keep telling them, their children, they don't actually understand what they're doing.
I've come to realize that when you're raised in a certain way, you can't really see beyond. You can see beyond because you're exposed. You can see beyond because you've been raised with love. A lot of people were raised with survival and not with love. So they don't understand giving a child love. It's like, I'm raising you. And that's why they beat the way they beat. And that's why they act the way they act. Because it's never, oh, let me correct you. It's, oh, you're going to be punished. Nobody cares if you've learned your lesson or not, or if you actually understand why you're being punished. I've also realized a lot of people don't explain things. Like, if I put my child in the naughty corner, I actually explain, you're going in the naughty corner because you did X, Y, Z, so that you know that this is what you did and you're not going to do it again. As opposed to, you're being punished, you don't even know why.
Yeah. And that's interesting, because it's almost like they want to treat them like adults and beat them like grown people, but then they don't want to treat them like adults and explain to them, okay, this is what, because they actually understand. They get to an age where they actually understand that, okay, this is why I'm being punished, because they will try and test, see what they can do. When they get told off, they know, oh, that was actually wrong, you know?
They're fully aware.
Yeah. And, oh God, I don't know. But as adults now, as older, no, I don't know, we're adults. Oh gosh, it's old people. But if I remember this, right? Someone, I won't say who, but someone in my family, a man, told me when I was younger that I should never sleep with two men at the same time. Just not like a threesome, I know,
right? Right, just right? Like,
but just, yeah. And when they told me that, it's not like I ever had, like, I was promiscuous or whatever. I think I was about 20. And they just said that to me. And that has stuck in my head. Like, I would never double date and be sleeping with that guy and sleeping with this guy. And they explained, like, don't do it because of this, that, and the other. But it's just funny how someone can say something to you and explain something to you, and then you just feel like, okay, this is actually something I'm not going to do. But if they hadn't said that, not that I feel like myself I would have just gone and be doing that, but they even made it now a thing for me that is like, yeah, I'm never going to do that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of silence in our culture, in our community. Everybody just want to be quiet. They don't want to say anything about things that are uncomfortable. And then when things happen, they just say, oh yeah, it's a bad child. The child has demonic spirit. The parents are useless. They're going to a bad school. It's just like, but none of us, nobody really want to talk.
I think they just, it's like, who can we blame? Let's blame everybody except the people that are actually supposed to be blamed. It's like, some, I don't know, if something happens, as opposed to maybe you've seen signs before. I'm sure there are people that will call the mom and be like, hey, I said this, I told you this girl was bad. No, you didn't say anything, actually. You never mentioned that. But now, all of a sudden, you have an opinion. But when you maybe noticed that, you know, maybe her attitude was off, or maybe you could have said something. And that's why I said, with the friendship thing, I can't have friends that, I can't tell you, like, I can't hold my breath. I can't not tell you if your kid is badly behaved. I'm not going to, like, beat your child or anything. But I'll definitely be like, okay, so this is what happened. You may want to do this, or you may want to do that. Or just be like, okay, this is what happened in general. So you know, because I expect for you to, if my child comes to your house and she slaps them, I want you to tell me so that I know and I can do better. If you don't tell me, she's going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Because maybe I didn't see, or I wouldn't have seen. And that's why you go back to, it takes a village.
Yes.
Because you can't do it on your own.
Yeah, and this is a very valid point, actually. People do see things before, and then...
And they won't say anything.
And it's like they're waiting for you to fuck up. They're really waiting for you
when
to
When it now
up.
Happens, you're not like...
I think it makes them feel better as well.
I said it.
Yeah, I said it. That child, when she was wearing that miniskirt. I've had a child in my house that was wearing a miniskirt or wearing a belly top. And I said, I told the parent, like, you need to not wear that because you're too young. And the environment we're in is not conducive for that. We are not in Acme, Miami. Maybe live by the beach. You can't just be prancing around like that because there are predators. There are people that will just be saying, oh, hello, hello. You know? I mean, we can't just say, oh, they're young. They should be allowed to wear what they want. That's their style. Yes, you can, you know, but not in every situation or environment. You have to be conscious. You have to be aware of where you are.
Yeah.
And Nigeria is just unfortunately not that place where you could be walking around. The male gaze is so real. Even women, if you walk past and you're, you know, wearing tight dress, they'll be like, hey, see, they all, you, if you turn around, you know that you see the men, they're turning back as well, looking at the woman's bum.
But they also don't realize, like, I don't really wear revealing things because it makes me uncomfortable. I hate when men look at me like that. I feel objectified and I hate it. So I'd rather not. But some people enjoy it. So it's like, it depends on what direction you want to go in. But I feel like for a kid, they don't deserve to be objectified and to be looked at like a piece of meat because that's essentially what it is. And African men don't, they'll say whatever they want. They don't care how you feel when you're walking past.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You hear stories of people in the market. Do you remember when there was one time where everyone was coming out talking about going to the market and like being harassed and like being groped, right? There was a whole thing like that because...
Like just pulling you and like touching
your... No, like groping your bum, groping your boobs. Like I read something in the bus. One girl was sitting down. A guy was like trying to touch her.
Oh, yuck.
And you're... Like you can't control... We live in a society where things like this... Like men are...
Yeah, they're placed up there. And that's, again, the criminal justice system. I mean, they're not going to... That's harassment.
Yeah.
But... For your case to get is longer, then it's like, oh, what were you wearing? Point. Maybe you were. I mean, I'm not saying the law will say this, but people will just be like, oh, but so you won't even want to go and say anything. Oh, somebody hit my bum or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Like, because that's always the first question. What were you wearing? What were you doing?
Yeah.
That he looked at you. What were you doing that they touched you? What? I was sitting in the bus.
It's, no, that's enough. Why were you in the bus?
That's the valid question, apparently.
Why did you not walk home? Walk like 10 miles. So yeah, it's crazy. But
this makes me sad.
It's very sad. It's very sad. And I don't want it really to be... I just really don't want to blame people or blame the parents, blame the school, whatever. But I think as a society, we all need to look inwards. Because I think everybody is to blame in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to help the next generation of kids, even our kids, or even just people who need to be rehabilitated back into society, we're going to have to do better. So, I don't know. I don't want to say being naked or lying.
No, but even forget even the nakedness. Now, this thing has happened. Mm-hmm. The video is out there. Instead of you to talk about it and move on, you're posting. You're reposting. Mm-hmm. People are constantly reposting the video. The video, instead of it to have like 5 views, probably has millions of views. Yeah. Why? Because there are pedophiles everywhere, both male and female.
Yeah.
Because they want to watch the whole thing. They want to see what exactly happened. I was on Twitter reading through and I saw like the first... I threw my phone because I personally, I don't want to see that. I have no business watching that. And I was even upset that the thing popped up the way it popped up because why is this? And then it wasn't a thread. Oh my God. But instead of me to do what I did and continued moving, some people are reposting it, sending it to their friends. Someone asked me, oh, do you have the video? No, the hell I don't. Yeah, I don't have the video. Go on, Twitter.
It actually warns everyone that, you know, if you repost, if it's illegal to share.
But the government shouldn't have to. That's the issue. That's what you're saying, society. The government should not have to tell us. I don't need somebody to tell me that it is wrong to share a video of a 10-year-old or 2 10-year-olds having sex. Nobody should need to tell you that that is not okay. That's common sense at this point, which is clearly not common.
Yeah, it's not common. It's really not
and
common.
And it's more than demonic. I don't know what English to use to describe those people, but you are mad, in case you don't know. You are not okay.
Yeah, very disgusting. And this is just, again, now you have to just think about the way you're going to train your own child.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you have to be so intentional, even more intentional than you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because every day something new is coming up. But yeah, it is much.
It's scary.
Thank you for coming on. I mean, I feel like I need to bring you again for a happy episode, but I felt like this would be so good for us to talk about because we're both mothers and, you know, we're young, married and trying to do everything that we are doing so well, but still trying to look after our children or child. Yeah. And it's not, easy, not easy, but yeah, these are the issues at hand in this country.
Yeah, really sad.
I'll bring you on for a happy episode, don't worry.
Yeah, because this has made me sad.
It's made me want to go home depressing. And really just like be like...
Hold my child.
Yeah, like go and scrutinize her iPad again.
Oh no, that...
Yeah, because I'm like, wait, how many apps does she actually have? She has some like game apps on it,
But you know the there's something you can add where everything makes you calculate numbers to open certain things.
Okay.
So you have to be an adult. Because they can't multiply yet.
All right. Okay, cool. I have to get on to that. Thank you, Tanya.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Can't wait to have my...
You're what? something going on here. Thanks for watching, guys. Tanya's not getting any money from us, but thank you for watching. Or remember to share and comment and like and follow us at Me, Her, and Everything Else Pod. See you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.